Hello and welcome to the Rangers Rundown. It's February the 17th for us. It's February later than the 17th for you, so hello. We are excited to talk about some spring training baseball. That sound is in the air. Those are balls, those are bats, those are gloves. I'm Max. I'm joined today by Hayden.
What's up?
And Mike.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about some sports ball. So happy end of winter, I guess. Right?
Yeah, that right there, that's the sound of those catcher's mitts just popping off. And, well, I don't know, everybody like writes about this every single year. It's like they use syncopation, and like the Google word usage gets bumped up a lot on The Athletic and like Sports Illustrated this time of year. But it's truly beautiful with green grass, the promise of warmer weather, the promise of all of our guys looking great and being in shape and in the best shape of their lives. Which is crazy how every year you can be in the best shape of your life, but, you know, somehow every athlete is able to do it.
Yeah, and I'm feeling pretty good. This is probably my best off season as a podcaster, and I know I'm ready to come out there and just deliver my hottest takes. I think I've got some good material, got the best jokes I've had. You know, I've really been getting in there in the film room, kind of going over some things with the coaches. They've got some new slow motion stuff to analyze what I've been doing with my face while I'm recording, and I think I've really seen some things in there that we're able to work on this season, and you know, hopefully I can play the 80 games that the team wants me to play right there with Jeff Mathis.
Okay, yeah, so that's going to be our leading storyline, I guess.
I wasn't going to let us get 2 minutes in here without talking about podcast favorite Jeff Mathis.
Jeff Mathis, man. I mean, we talked about him at length because he was like the only free agent that we signed back in like November. Like, he was like the first guy we got. I remember getting the phone notification of Rangers signed Jeff Mathis, and I'm like, wait a minute, you mean the guy that was on that really, really bad player? Not only is he still in the league, but the Rangers signed him. But yeah, he hasn't caught 80 games in 8 seasons, and apparently that's what's being asked of him this year, which you go, okay, that's a little ambitious, but you know, let's set our sights high. And then you realize that kind of tied to that is you're probably asking IKF to catch the remaining 80 games. You go, okay, maybe we should have thought this through a little better, but I mean, surely Jose Trevino factors into that, but he's just not on the team yet. But at the same time, it's it shouldn't be plan A.
Well, I figure the team is definitely projecting for Trevino to be a pretty significant part of the catching equation this season. I mean, I know what they're saying with they won 80 games out of Jeff Mathis, but I don't know that Trevino is, or that Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is ready to go be a full-time catcher. He caught, what, 35 games last year, give or take?
Yeah, and it wasn't a ton.
I don't know that he's ready to double that. I mean, catching is really, really hard, and is it in his interest, and is it in the Rangers' long-term interest to go and toss him in there for 70 games this season? Probably not, especially when the whole reason that you sign a guy like Jeff Mathis is to coach your pitchers and to coach especially your other catchers. So getting Trevino exposed to him as much as possible, having him come up there, I mean, it's not like Trevino can be any worse at the plate than Jeff Mathis. I don't think that's a reasonable possibility. So obviously the defense would be a step down, but that's why you want him up there working with these guys and, you know, learning how to do it. So I think 80 is pretty optimistic for Mathis. I would be surprised if he cracks 60, really.
Yeah, I'm guessing Trevino's probably going to catch maybe 40 games. I expect him to see quite a bit of action, and I don't have a problem with that. I mean, he's a 2-time Gold Glove winner in the minor leagues. He's right. Got the defense. He just needs to work on his bat. So, yeah, let's see more of that.
Yeah, if you get 90 games one way or another out of IKF and Trevino, and then you get another 60 or so out of Mathis, you're going to get those emergency starts here or there from your, you know, Jet Bandys or my new favorite ball player. Let me look his name back up. My favorite baseball player, guy I know, Adam Moore, real person. He's a catcher, in theory. That's what Baseball Reference says he plays. He's pretty bad.
He sounds like a creative player on MLB The Show, just kind of like this person is not part of the MLBPA. And so Adam Moore is actually the third baseman for the A's or something like that.
Yeah, they're like, okay, Matt Chapman wouldn't letting his likeness be used, so you know, you use the little bingo thing, and it pops out two dice, and you're like, okay, Adam and Moore. There you go. Yep. That's his name.
And we've had a lot. We've had a lot of luck with guys named Moore, so do I feel good about that.
Do we? Do we?
Maybe.
Leave the past in the past, man.
Occasionally, as we will learn, though, more is less. As the man hit 219, 260, 347 in Triple A last year. So, not great. His on-base percentage would be a mediocre batting average. So, that's not particularly good. But hey, you know, maybe something works out. We'll get a couple of transcendent games in the middle of the summer from a guy who goes off and breaks his back afterwards or what have you.
Kuzmanov.
Yeah, I was gonna say, give me that Kevin Kuzmanov experience.
Yeah. I just looked it up because I was wondering about this too. Jose Trevino has two options remaining, according to Scott Lucas, so that's not really a factor at play because unlike kind of the way that we were treating Connor Sadzik and Yohander Mendez, of kind of the stakes are a little bit higher and maybe the timeline is now. It's not really that case with Trevino, so there is a little bit of time for the team to take with him. I think he's 25 or so, though. So, you know, would like to have him kind of get up and stay up this year for the rest of his career. But just because I was wondering about that myself, I looked it up.
I feel like he can at least be a serviceable backup for any good team. I think he's going to have a long career in the bigs.
And I'll go ahead and share that too. This awesome spreadsheet from Scott Lucas. He does a really good job of kind of curating the roster and the organizational depth and kind of the Rule 5 and basically anything you want to know about the rosters from the Major League team all the way down to the AZL team. Kind of systematically, he's got it, which is great. So I'll go ahead and tweet that out from the Rangers Rundown account too.
Okay. Yeah, so the catching situation this season is definitely going to be one to follow, but Texas enters spring training with not a lot of positional conflict, not a lot of battles going on. We were talking about this in pre, and we were struggling to really come up with where the interesting decisions are going to be made. Obviously, the bullpen always has parts that are moving around, and guys can get hurt, or someone can have a terrible spring. But, I mean, I think a bunch of the names there are pretty much more or less set. The rotation appears to be set between Mike Minor, Shelby Miller, Lance Lynn, Drew Smyly, and Edinson Volquez. Unless one of them gets hurt in spring training or something really weird happens, I expect that's your top five. There's always the chance that Texas DLs one of those guys. Injury lists one of those guys at the end of spring training and opens with four and then, you know, recalls somebody. But that looks like our five starting pitchers this season. So the only real quote-unquote position battle that I can think of, and maybe I'm missing something, is center field, left field. Is Texas going to let Joey Gallo push to play center field in an effort to try and get Willie Calhoun in the lineup more often? Or are we going to be looking at a corner situation of Gallo and Mazzara with Delino DeShields and maybe the newly signed Ben Revere duking it out for center field duties? That's about as interesting a position battle as we get, I think. Unless I'm missing something here.
I think so too, and I think that it's kind of the most high stakes in terms of the future outlook of the team, because we really need to figure out who Willie Calhoun is now. Like, okay, it's 2019. It's time for him to be up all year and for him to get 400-plus at-bats and hit, and just like he needs to be up for the full season. Unfortunately, the roster is not constructed where he has a natural spot. Fortunately, I guess somewhat, he's kind of all indications is like legitimately in the best shape of his life. He lost 24 pounds in the offseason, which is awesome. Which, I mean, you hear that and you go, okay, you know, whatever, that's good. I'm glad he didn't gain an extra 24 pounds, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything. But I also read some comments from Gallo and Shields and other guys that were talking to him saying, hey, like, we were watching you shag balls and you were making plays that you physically couldn't make anymore. And he also talked about how at the plate, he didn't have to swing around his stomach, which is a very frank thing to say. But I mean, like, yeah, those are like, but that's
funny,
like,
thing to say too.
Yeah, yeah, but like, that's a, that's, it's those comments that make me think, okay, cool, he's put himself in a position to succeed. Woodward has talked about, as long as you put yourself in a position to succeed, we'll give you a lot of rope. And I think he's going to force his way into the lineup, and the question is at what cost. With Chu on the team, with Mazzara kind of cemented in right field, and I use that word intentionally because that's what he puts on his 2 feet every day.
Who, buddy? What a singer. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
We got him. I do think Gallo spend more time in center field as a way to get Calhoun in, into the lineup, because also DeShields is not exactly an everyday player. I think that he could be on a certain team, but like, he's not. He still has some work to do with the bat in order to earn himself a 500 at bat season, and so I think we'll see some pretty creative stuff that involves Calhoun in left and not being an absolute nightmare, because he's kind of put himself in a position to succeed, and then Gallo slides over to center as a way to keep his bat in the lineup, and we just tell him don't run into any walls.
It kind of sucks that Texas is at a place where it's out on the win curve and it's like full up in center field. Having Shinsu Chu on the team still is pretty irritating when you really figure they should have tried to trade him by now. But, you know, there were a couple of interesting reclamation project outfielders. I mean, one of them, the Rangers actually already signed in Hunter Pence, who has not been good for the last couple of years, but is funny and a great guy to root for as a baseball player. You know, you always hope that maybe there's something left in the tank, but that also would apply to Carlos Gonzalez, who would be kind of an interesting fit for, I think, a lot of outfields as a guy who, you know, maybe can scrape something together again. But Texas sitting there and having Willie Calhoun and Delino DeShields and Shinsu Chu, Nomar Mazzara, and Jake Gallo on the same roster is irritating, especially when you have to recognize that we have to make room in that lineup for Carlos Tochi. Getting that right-handed power bat into the lineup is going to be a pretty big deal.
Come on.
12 minutes, 11 seconds. Mark that for the first Carlos Tochi reference.
2019, just like, yes. 2018.
Yes. He did have a 0.00 ERA as a pitcher, if I recall correctly. So
yeah, he and Matt Davidson can be the wave of the future.
Yes.
I do like the Matt Davidson pickup. Third baseman, first baseman, Chicago White Sox. Pitched a few times in relief last year. Was sitting in the like low 90s pretty easily. Pitched 3 clean innings. He is a guy who has been discussed as being a two-way player for Texas, not really as a regular relief option, but as a mop-up guy in games that Texas is winning or losing big, you know, 5-6 runs, whatever. They maybe bring in Davidson and save a reliever, and because he does play third and first, and he does have an okay-ish bat, kind of, like if you squint a little bit. He's a guy who figures to have a roster spot on a modern baseball team. So, I mean, he's interesting. Third base looked like it was going to be the interesting position for Texas in spring training, with the trade of Drew Robinson to the Cardinals for Patrick Wisdom, who looked like a guy who would maybe be given an opportunity to play every day at third base, and then the addition of Davidson. Third looked like it might be the only interesting slot. And then Texas went out and signed Asdrubal Cabrera. So,
and I like that signing.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, he's a placeholder. There's no doubt about it. We don't have a third baseman of the future anywhere close. So might as well run with him, see what he can do. I mean, at this point in his career, we pretty much know what he is. And he's serviceable. But I think it's better than, you know, trying to make an everyday third baseman out of IKF. I think that this is a guy that can gonna hold things down until we sign Arenado next season.
Wait, yeah. Is this a Rockies podcast? When did we become fans of the Los Angeles Dodgers?
Mike, when you were talking just then, it makes me think about kind of the net sum of the moves revolving around third base. And I was looking forward to Profar being the third baseman all year next year. I know that some people, including you, didn't really think that he had the skills for it. I thought that he flashed enough. But so I guess the net gain would, or the picture is, would you rather have Profar and not the prospects from the A's and the Rays, or would you rather have Asdrubal Cabrera and those prospects, right?
Yeah, and I think I'd rather have Brock Burke. I mean, yeah. That was the net that we got from the Profar trade, you know, and not him specifically, just he's another live arm that's close to being major league ready, and you just keep gambling on those guys, and hopefully at some point one of them is going to pan out. And Burke has just as good a chance as any of them to be one of those guys.
Yep.
And unlike a lot of other Rangers, prospects in the last couple of years, not so much the pitchers, but just prospects generally, I think Burke is interesting because he was actually good last year. We keep getting guys who are like, oh, he's got great stuff, and you know, any minute now he'll harness that. You know, this is mm-hmm. a guy who's got incredible tools. Or and John Hernandez was like this entering last season, where like, yeah, he's got a good fastball, he's got some parts there, but it's unlikely he ever makes it click. And then he had that phenomenal start to the season, and right. folks are like, this is what we're talking about. You know, Hans Kraus, he's so far away that it terrifies me, but he's got the stuff of an ace pitcher. Cole Wynn could be a really interesting pitcher. What makes Brock Burke kind of exciting to me as a Rangers fan is that he was actually legitimately excellent in Double A last year. It wasn't like, well, he's got that 97 mile an hour fastball and just a devastating change, and he pitched to a 3.86 ERA, which is pretty good, you know, when you think about it. It's like, no, he had a sub 2 ERA as a, I don't know, 22 year old. That's really good. Like, he was a legitimately excellent pitcher in the minors, not just a guy who had some stuff. He's got the raw things that it wasn't a complete mirage that he was good at Double A. That's really exciting.
Yeah, I could see him being, you know, kind of in the mold of a Matt Harrison or a Derek Holland, you know, a good solid number two, number three guy that you can build a really excellent team around. And that's what they're looking for. I mean, there are no legitimate aces anywhere close to the majors for the Rangers, but you got some guys that have a lot of tremendous upside.
Yep, load them
I mean,
up.
Burke has some good upside. Obviously, Palumbo is sort of a favorite here, and he's got some legitimate upside if he can sort of stay healthy and just keep everything working for himself. Hernandez has that janky delivery, but he's got good stuff, and he's got good results with that stuff most of the time. You know, Taylor Hearn may not have the superstar ceiling given his command control issues, but looks like he's a guy who could figure as a major league starting pitcher, or at the very least as a pretty good reliever. And that's kind of cool. Those guys are all sitting at Double A. They're all going to be at Frisco to start the season. A nice short drive to catch some similarly talented baseball between Frisco and Arlington. So that's going to be really fun. And I'm excited for people who are in that area who can go out and catch some really, really good minor league ball. I mean, Frisco is one of the best teams in terms of prospect scouting in baseball, what, 3 or 4 years ago? And it looks like they're going to be right back up there as a really interesting place to be. And I think we as big league fans can be really excited because we're seeing those guys come up, and we're in a position where we have a rotation full of veterans. I mean, I read them off earlier, Minor, Miller, Lynn, Smiley, and Volquez. But you think any of those dudes are really going to be in the way of an exciting up-and-coming prospect hitting the mound in July? No.
No. Either they'll be good contributors that will trade for more prospects, or they'll, you know, be reclamation projects that we just end up kind of pushing to the side. It's a really easy decision to make.
They get bounced to long relief, or they're wearing a different uniform.
And yeah.
You're going to see a guy like Taylor Hearn or Joe Palumbo or Brock Burke or John Hernandez. One of those dudes is going to be pitching in Arlington prior to roster expansion. And the question is just, which one?
Who's your vote?
Of the four, my guy to be pitching in Arlington before rosters expand is Joe Palumbo.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think he has the best combination of upside and track record.
An 80 grade name, you know.
Yeah, Palumbo is a really good baseball name.
Yeah, I'll say Hearn makes it first to just be a little bit different. To just be different, and he's got that upper 90s fastball from the left side. That could be an accelerant for the promotion there. But I am a big fan of Palumbo. Really, kind of the only thing that makes you hesitant about him is the health, and he has the Tommy John out of the way. in theory, you know, and Tepet is over the moon about him, and that honestly sways my opinion quite a bit. So yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be really, really good to see. You know, we kind of had this first kind of crest of young players and Gallo and Mazzara and IKF to a lesser degree, Odor kind of, at this point, 5 years ago.
Odor went from not being much of an anybody,
right,
being a starting major league second baseman who signed an extension before he could drink.
Exactly. So we kind of had like the position player wave while we were putting out starting pitchers whose names I literally don't even remember. Giovanni Gallardo, Colby Lewis was around then, and then like 2016, 17. I don't even remember those guys' names. So like, Cole Hamels. We got him. Yeah.
Yu Darvish.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
We had a couple.
A couple. Let's just start. Okay, let's start my memory at 2017. I don't remember any of those guys.
You don't remember Martin Andrew Perez, Cashner?
Andrew Cashner, Martin Perez. There we go.
AJ Griffin.
Yeah.
Sweet Lettuce.
Yeah. Austin Bibbins Dirks.
Okay. This is why I didn't remember it. All I'm saying is that
I'm sorry.
That,
you don't remember Tyson Ross, Rangers starter?
Oh no! I so remember that. I so remember that.
Andrew
because he could
Cashner.
Not throw a strike.
You remember
Andrew
when
Cashner.
Miguel Gonzalez started 5 games for this team? I sure as hell don't. And I'm looking at it right here. Yeah. That happened. Oh, yeah. Dylan G started a game in 2017.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
he just retired.
Stop looking at this. This is sad.
He just retired, he for the record. Yeah. Right. Point is, although I actually really enjoyed that thought exercise and the big reveal of the 2017 Rangers starting pitchers.
Don't forget Big Sexy.
You've heard it at 18.
No, that
you
was
heard it here first.
Yeah.
Guys, Dylan G pitched the 2017 Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Point is, it's been fun to have the hitters come, and you're just like, okay, what are we going to do about this pitching? You know, when are we going to get some pitching up in here? And you know what? You know what? Like, this 2019 into 2020, we're going to have that crest come up where, you know, Taylor Hearn will probably come up and not have immediate success because pitching in the major leagues is really hard, and same with Palumbo, and same with a bunch of other guys. But it's going to be the start of the new crest of talent, and it's going to be from the mound rather than in the batter's box. That's going to be really refreshing because I remember how excited I would get to watch like Yu Darvish pitch or Matt Harrison when he was at the top of his game, and you just kind of look forward to that, and you turn on the TV and you say, this is going to be a fun game to watch because the pitcher like has a plan, he knows what he's doing, he's going to execute, he's exciting, and now he's going to actually be on our team. Rather than being on somebody else's team. He's not going to be some A's pitcher that you've never heard of who's young and is going to compete for the Cy Young in his second year. Those are our guys now.
And or AJ Puck.
You know what it reminds me fans. Of? It reminds me, what was it, 2008? When Holland first came up? And just the look on the players' faces when Holland made his debut on the mound. They're like, oh, yeah, this is what a real pitcher looks like.
Yep.
I mean, they were all genuinely excited. They're like, okay, we've got something here. And that's what we're on the verge of. And not to say that these guys are, you know, all going to be torps, but you've got some exciting stuff there. And they're going to give you something to hang your hat on to have some real hope for the future.
Yeah, and say what you will about the 2019 Rangers being poorly projected or probably being bad. Either you off the top of your head know who the innings leader was for the 2008 Rangers pitching staff?
Ooh, Kevin Millwood. Was he still around then?
He was, but he was the second most.
Gallardo.
Oh, Padilla.
Nope. Vicente Padilla. So,
yes.
There you go.
Oh, I loved,
no matter what you think about how bad the Rangers could possibly be in 19, their best pitcher will not be Vicente Padilla this season.
Oh, man. So, was it Cameron Lowe,
also,
maybe?
When and when I said best pitcher, he was the Rangers' best pitcher of their innings leaders by ERA+. They had 0 average or better pitchers that season.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
And yet, 2 years later, they went to the World Series.
Yeah.
So, look at
exactly.
that.
Crazy how baseball do that.
So
Brandon McCarthy pitched 5 games for that team. Back in the good old days.
Yeah, that was before he was good. and healthy.
He's a Ranger again. So Brandon McCarthy's a special assistant to the GM, I think, I don't remember his official title, but I think it's special assistant to the GM.
One of those working on some pitching stuff. He still gets to tweet, but he also helps the Rangers,
which is a win-win.
I think it's executive metrics dude. I think that's his title.
I'll take it. Yeah. Whatever gets me some more Brandon McCarthy in the Rangers baseball universe, I'm pretty comfortable with. So I think that kind of just leads into a discussion right now about how good we do think the Rangers are going to be in 2019. So I know we were a little optimistic heading into the 18 season, and that ended up being misplaced. But you know, Texas did not lose 100 games. They just did their darndest. They only lost 95. They couldn't quite seal the deal on a nice, sexy 100 loss season. But that meant a 67-95 season. FanGraphs has the Rangers projected 7 wins better than that, to go 74-88. What are we thinking? Is 74 reasonable? Do we think we can go better than that? Are we going to be worse than that? Will we be more like last year, or maybe round things together a little bit?
Give me the under.
I'm thinking
72.
Yeah. Okay. I would run away from that number because I think that it's possible, as I was saying before we hit record, is that with kind of my blind optimism in that Odor is going to be really good, he's never going to be bad again, that Gallo is actually an MVP candidate in disguise, that Delino DeShields can get on base like 38% of the time and steal 50 bases, yada, 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 that we could push 80 or something ridiculous. Now, okay, pause, let yourself laugh, listener. Okay, realistically, not everybody's going to be their best selves and they're not all going to figure it out. But at the same time, like, we're still kind of good. We have some kind of good pieces and we have some pitchers where if they get to, like, if Minor is still, like, really good and if Lance Lynn is kind of, like, a sub-4 ERA guy enough and if one of Volquez, Shelby Miller, and Drew Smyly is, you know, pretty decent and reliable, then you're going to mess around and win 74 games on accident. And so I would run away from that.
The problem, I think, is that I think that any of these guys in the starting rotation that are good, that turn out to be actually good, are going to be gone on July 31st. And then you're going to have young guys coming up, and they're going to have some growing pains. And that, I think that's what tempers my enthusiasm. I think it's going to make it more fun to watch than it was last year, because there's going to be more hope for the future.
Right.
But I don't see any way they get to 74 wins.
So, Hayden, are you taking the over on 74?
No. If I were to put money on it, if I had to, gun to my head, I'd go under.
Okay.
Because I think that you are a Joey Gallo getting hit in the face with a pitch in a freak injury.
Shut up.
Where he's out for 3 months.
Shut up.
Or Mike Minor, Tommy John, something, I don't know, where he's out for 6 months. You know, if something like that happens, you're taking off 4 or 5 wins from the team. So I think that it's that 74 is a very delicate 74 where it could easily hit, but also very easily just something important could go very wrong, and then you're very far away from 74.
Well, I was going to be – I mean, I'm going to have to be contrary and just take the over just to be – so one of us can be wrong, and that's important to me. What I was thinking about, though, is like, well – actually, I like what Mike was saying, that a bunch of these pitchers may not be here at the end of the season. We're talking about a bunch of the kids being up. And I actually think that Texas has room to be better with the kids being up at the end of the year than they do with their rotation before then. Like you said, there's going to be growing pains. But I think that these kids in AA represent a better opportunity for the Rangers to be good come September with a couple of more months of pitching development under their belt than the combination of Shelby Miller, Drew Smyly, Edinson Volquez really kind of figure to be contributing. But I decided to get clever and take a look at what Texas's schedule is going to look at after the deadline. So August, we'll have a home with the Tigers, series of the Indians. So Tigers are going to be terrible. Indians are going to be pretty good. Brewers are going to be good. Blue Jays are going to be bad. Twins are going to be mediocre. Angels are going to be the Angels. White Sox are going to be terrible. Angels again. Mariners. And God only knows what the Mariners are going to be this season. the Mariners could legitimately win or lose 95 games, and neither would surprise me. Like, that team should be terrible, but DePoto could have done some weird nonsense. I don't get them.
They should have been roster. Good for, like, the last 6 years, and, you know, they've been terrible.
But that's September's schedule. That September schedule. We got 3 games with the Orioles. So those are some 4 games, sorry. That's some good wins. The rest of September is Yankees, Rays, A's, Astros, A's, Red Sox, Yankees. We're gonna lose like 30 games in September.
Maybe 40.
It's not good.
No, that's not a good way to end your season at all.
Yeah, we played 25 games, it looks like, in the month of September, and the Rangers are, I would say math should tell you they shouldn't lose 20 of them, but they might. They really might. That's not great. Yeah. Especially because you're getting Red Sox, Yankees. So you're getting two teams that are figuring to be pushing for one seeds going against each other. And you've got 6 games against the Yankees and 3 against the Red Sox. Also, we talked about this, Mike, you and I, in person when I came to that ball game last year, that it sort of sucks that the Rangers are going to end their season with a homestand against the Yankees. That, like, their send-off games, the last games played in the ballpark, are going to be games that would have sold out anyway because it's Yankees fans. And that's sort of irritating from a scheduling perspective.
It is. But I never like to see Yankees fans in the stands at all, ever, under any circumstances. So that's just me.
Yeah, no, I do hate that. Do hate the visitors being louder than the home team. But here's why.
We do get July 4th at home this year. That's nice.
That'll be good. Here's why the Yankees being the final series at home will be awesome, because, and we can dive into this at a later date, but I took some time and looked at the promotional schedule for this year, and we've got some sweet stuff coming up commemorating the 2010 American League championship team that destroyed the Yankees that year in the American League championship series, and there will be lots of you know, hey, remember when this happened type of celebration stuff versus the Yankees, as the Yankees are back in the building. So at least there's that, you know, there's the best moments in the Rangers stadium being, you know, when Neftali Feliz struck out A-Rod Looking. We're going to be celebrating that. And it'll be kind of nice for it to be against the Yankees, you know, as they're in the dugout. But that's just kind of the silver lining.
When I'm right and the Rangers win way over 74 wins and clinch their playoff spot with their 92nd victory of the season over a broken and beleaguered New York Yankees team come September, I'm going to feel really good, right?
Or it could be that the Yankees are just resting all their starters, getting ready for the first round of playoffs.
Hey, shut up, Mike. Nobody asked you.
And that gives us a good chance for some victories there.
Yeah, maybe we sweep the Red Sox and Yankees in back-to-back homestands because both teams have already won 103 games and literally could not care less.
Exactly.
And neither team will probably employ Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, who I believe are both dead. That's the last thing I saw. I assume that's why they haven't signed contracts on the 17th of February, is that both of them were stricken by, like, flesh-eating bacteria or something.
I would think the Rangers should at least give, you know, a non-roster invite to Machado.
I'd take him on a minor league deal.
Yeah, why not?
Dude,
take a flyer.
At $550,000, he really can't do that much damage to you.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a gamble.
Yeah. I'm willing to roll those dice. Hayden, are you willing to roll those dice?
No, not my money, so yes.
Bryce Harper was predicted projected with only like a 270 batting average this season. So, I mean, it was a 400 OBP and a 550 slugging. But that 270 batting average, that guy's lazy. He's got bad hair. Clearly, he only cares about Instagram and not winning baseball games.
But Tony Romo projects that he's going to play for the Rangers.
He did. So. He did say that. Tony, bless you, Tony Romo.
That would make
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that would make the outfield kind of logjam that we discussed before with, like, oh, man, how are we going to get Calhoun into the lineup? Imagine if we added Bryce Harper and you're just like, well.
I'm going to
I think Bryce is a fourth outfielder at that point.
I'm going to go on a limb here. Hot take. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I would be all of that worried about the Texas Rangers Willie Calhoun outfield situation if they employed Bryce Harper. I'm willing to say that I think I would be pretty content.
Yeah,
I think whatever happened after that.
Yeah. I can see. I mean, I don't know how they would make it work, but you know, in JD we trust. So
just let Bryce play center. I'm sure he would want to. Let him.
Yeah.
Let Manny play center. Let Manny pitch. I don't care.
I don't care. Just hit.
I don't care. Just sign them. This is nonsense. It's the 17th of February. I think the last teams have their full workouts tomorrow. The Rangers are in that group.
Yeah.
Certainly by Wednesday, everyone will have had their first full workout in. And those dudes are sitting at home. Insane. Absolutely insane.
Okay, then I'm just looking up real quick just for reference. Let's see. It was the February 19th was when J.D. Martinez signed last year. So.
And he was bad, right? Like, he sucked and cost his team an opportunity to win the World Series, right?
Awful. He was awful. Yeah.
Because of his bad contract signed late in the year, that his team sucked and did not become the 108-win Boston Red Sox, right?
He was part of the best team in Red Sox history.
Wait, did they actually win 108 games?
Oh, yeah.
Did having the best available hitter on the free agent market signed with their team contribute to their winning a World Series title?
Maybe.
Correlation does not equal causation. That's a
great point. And you know what? I'm going to take it.
Thank you.
JD Martinez signing late didn't help the Red Sox. Boom. Y'all heard it here first. Free agency is great. It's very healthy. Everything is good. Manny Machado sucks. And Bryce Harper has too much attitude. So don't sign them. Let them both play for the Orioles. I don't care. Actually, Manny Machado did play for the Orioles for like 8 years, and it didn't help them at all. So whatever. He can go be a White Sox. Ugh. Baseball's stupid. I'm so happy it's back.
Yep.
You and me both.
Oh, buddy. We got so much baseball. Hayden, what was that? What's that first game?
The first game is going to be this Saturday, the 23rd, I think is the number date, versus the Royals.
Who are they playing? It doesn't matter.
It's always the Royals. It's always the Royals.
It's going to be on the radio, so if you would just pause for a second and just let there be the silence in your brain, be at peace. You turn on the radio, it's 2:05. Hello and welcome. It's Eric Nadel here with Matt Hicks. And you go, oh, yes, they're back. So
I'm so excited.
It's going to be back.
Thursday the 28th will be the first televised game against the Angels. So that's cool. So we got another televised game that next Thursday against the Padres. That should be very fun. The Padres have an insanely good farm team, and I'm assuming a lot of their prospects should be getting some good screen time this year in spring training. So, yeah.
Yep. And when is opening day?
Opening day?
Yeah.
It's the 28th of March versus the Cubs.
Okay. There we go.
It's a Thursday.
I think I'm
taking
go.
Off work. You should too.
I think I may go since this will be year number 43 in a row for opening day for me.
Nice. Very nice.
And yeah, and we as a podcast will have some special spring training content coming straight to your ear holes in the end of March, as we may have yet another physical joint production when the Rangers go and play in Nashville and
yes,
their typical AAA warm-up games before the season starts. So look out here if we for some just tragic reason have listeners in the Nashville area. Let us know. We're sorry, but maybe we'll grab a beer.
And they're probably the most excited random group of Rangers fans to be like, oh, sweet. You mean that all of these new pitchers are going to be coming through Nashville now instead of, I don't know, who was their affiliate before? The A's?
Yeah.
Yeah, so instead of getting the A's, A's had good pitchers too. But now they get Rangers pitchers. And they care about them.
Rangers. Because
they're Rangers fans, and they're Rangers Rundown fans.
Yeah, of course. Sounds are fun. They just did a full roster or full uniform redesign, and it's fantastic. Yep. Super, super good. Go get some Sounds hats. Go get some just minor league hats. I've got a Crawdads hat. I've got a Spokane hat. Frisco. Going to be adding a Sounds hat in a couple of weeks. Get them minor league hats. They're always good. The designs are excellent. Stock up. Treat yourself. Put together that wardrobe. You guys got anything else you want to talk about today?
Nope. We'll be back soon.
Oh, I'm so ready for baseball. I'm dying. I need it. It's straight into my veins.
Indeed.
It's going to do it for us here on the Rangers Rundown. We'll be getting back. Now that the boys are back in town, we got that spring training sounds in the air. We, too, will be getting off our lazy butts and putting this podcast out more frequently. But what we can tell you right now is that you should absolutely tune into the episode at the end of this week, because it's going to have some fun, never before seen Rangers Rundown content.
Yes. The big tease.
Hold on to your butts. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. It's going to be unique. We're probably going to screw it up somehow, but it'll probably be funny. So give us a chance. We will be plugging that pretty good. But y'all here listening at the end of this interminably long 40-minute rambling are going to be treated to some spoilers, which is that the Rangers Rundown will be bringing on a member of the Texas Rangers organization this week to talk to us about his experiences as a baseball player. And he's a name you know. You're familiar with this man.
Yep.
So hold on. Look out. We're coming.
We will be back soon.
Bye.
All right. Play ball.